Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. Interesting. Mm. That's why you need Robert Half. Yep. I don't think that's a person. That's the company.
Okay, I was confused.
Yeah, their specialized recruiting professionals engage with their proprietary AI. Welcome to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing, and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. See, at Robert Half, they know talent. I wish I had had Robert Half back in the day when I was hiring.
Okay.
So, no offense, Sona.
Oh, I feel like you did mean to offend me.
Yes, you wouldn't be here if I had had Robert Half. Okay. Visit RobertHalf.com today. Sona, how's your sock drawer looking?
It's messy. There's a lot of single socks.
Yep. I think it's time for a little spring cleaning.
Oh. That's awful.
Check out Bombas. Once you try a pair, you'll never look at socks the same way again. I should know. I like my Bombas. Their spring collection has new garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. My feet have never been to a party. They've
so
got
sad.
Stripes and florals and new vintagey colored rib socks. You know, when I'm wearing Bombas, I feel like my feet are being caressed and cared for in a way they never have been in my life.
Hmm.
Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/Conan and use code Conan for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/Conan and use code Conan at checkout.
Conan O'Brien needs a fan. Want to talk to Conan? Visit teamcoco.com/callconan. Okay, let's get started.
Oh, man.
Hi, David. Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan.
Hey, David, how are you?
Wow. I am so nervous.
Holy okay. Aww. Well, David, do not be nervous. You will quickly realize that we are idiots, if you haven't already. And it's really nice to talk to you. Where are you right now?
I'm in New Rochelle, New York, right outside of New York City.
Okay. I grew up fantasizing about New Rochelle because my favorite show when I was a really little kid, it was on in reruns, was the Dick Van Dyke Show. He was a comedy writer, and I remember thinking that'd be the coolest job in the world, and he lived in New Rochelle. So
that's right.
That was that just made me think, man, if I could live in New Rochelle and be married to Mary Tyler Moore and write comedy, well, one of those came true. So how are you? Tell us a little bit about yourself, Dave.
I'm great. So I live in New Rochelle. I'm a congregational rabbi. I have three children.
Mm-hmm.
One is, he's a freshman in college, one in a junior in high school, and a fifth grader.
Wow.
And, I'm a huge fan.
Oh, that's nice.
All three of you.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, primarily me.
He said all of us.
He didn't.
Well, David, it's clear though that it's like, oh, it's Conan, and then yes, of course.
Well, we don't know that.
The others.
Or yes, of course.
Yeah.
Or the yes, of course.
Listen, David, let's get back to the main focus, which is you're a huge fan of mine.
Of ours.
And then. We'll never get past this part. So
rank us.
Yeah. I'm curious, because I was raised, as you can imagine, and as I've mentioned on the podcast many times, and it's no secret, I'm Irish Catholic, but I grew up in an area right outside Boston, and my school was surrounded pretty much on all sides by temples. And so many of my really good friends were Jewish, and I think I went to many more bar mitzvahs when I was a kid than first communions or any other Christian ceremony. So I grew up really liking your religion a lot. It felt very user-friendly and comforting.
Yeah. So, well, you ended up in a good place then in Hollywood. So
what the hell?
The truth is, I think that's there's stuff.
Hey, tone it down, David.
Okay.
It's not true.
Relevant.
There are no Jewish people in Hollywood. None. It's all Mormons.
Just transferred Brookline.
It's the Mormons that control Hollywood. And some Baptists, Mennonites, but I'm curious, first of all, when did you decide that you had this calling to be a rabbi? Is that something you knew when you were a kid?
No, I was not voted most likely to end up in the rabbinate. I did not grow up in an observant
and yet I was
at all.
Oh my God.
And it was, I went to India for a year after college, mm-hmm. and I worked in the Jewish community there. And that was the beginning of, really thinking about serving the Jewish community in some capacity. But I was not, it was like a slow, circuitous route to the rabbinate. I lived in Baltimore for a year teaching. I lived in Israel for a year. And eventually I found my way to rabbinical school.
Okay. And then it just felt like you knew right away, like, this is it. This makes sense for me.
No. I mean, there's...
How is it feeling now to be a rabbi? I get the feeling any minute now you're going to say, I think being a glass blower might be the way to go.
Your question you asked about being called to this work. And actually, most Jews I know don't really feel called to this work. So I think that's one of the differences between Christianity and Judaism. We sort of like... who care a lot about Judaism, love the Jewish people, don't like all of them, but love them. And, care about the Jewish intellectual tradition. So this could be a good career choice in that sense, as opposed to feeling called into this work.
Got it. Got it.
That's interesting. It's more real. It's pragmatic.
Yeah, I think not for everyone, but certainly for me it was. And for most rabbis I work with and am friends with.
So tell me, what's your day like? Because I'm trying to imagine... What I do know, and this would be true for a priest as well, or for people in other religions who are walking the walk, that you have a different, your day is composed of many different kinds of tasks. Is that right? You're not just teaching students about Moses and taking them through various steps of the things they need to learn in their faith. There's all kinds of stuff that a rabbi needs to know how to do.
It's true. Actually, the way you said that reminded me of, so my wife, Tali, has a doctorate from NYU. And she was, as I was finishing rabbinical school, and it was 6 years after college, and Tali got accepted into NYU, my mother said, "This is so exciting, the first shuck to go to graduate school." And I was sort of finishing 6 years of graduate school. So I asked her, what did you mean by that? Studying Aramaic and like ancient languages. And she said, "I don't know, don't you just like teach children about Moses?" Sort of,
so I'm channeling your mom right now. Enough with the Moses. It's Moses this,
therapy.
Moses that. Yeah. But what do you do? Things that could happen in your day.
Sure. So there's we're building an institution. So there's 600 and so a few thousand people associated with the synagogue. Mm-hmm. So there's a nursery school, there's a religious school, there's the kind of day-to-day life programming of the synagogue. So I'm constantly working on ensuring that we're meeting the needs of the community in that way. But, people get sick, they end up in the hospital, everything, you get a call and you have to drop everything and you spend time with families offering comfort or presence mm-hmm. through, the death and dying piece of the life cycle. There's weddings, there's babies are born and... you have opportunities to celebrate. I do a lot of pastoral counseling for people who are, either have sick loved ones or marital problems. And so every day is completely unpredictable because you work with human beings and we're endlessly interesting creatures with lots of different needs. And so it's trying to balance the sort of day-to-day life of the institution and the human experience of all of the people associated with the synagogue.
Are you always, wearing anything that would identify you as a rabbi? Can you go undercover? Are there times where you, because I'm talking.
I am curious because priests you can easily identify because of the collar.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean,
that was exactly my question. It's. Because right now I'm talking to you and I'm thinking, well, if you wanted to, you could blend in and say, I just got off the boat from Switzerland. I'm here to repair cuckoo clocks and just take a little time off,
Yeah, no, there's, there's two different pieces of that question. The first is, you know, if I want to watch, I'm a huge Philadelphia sports fan. I want to watch the Eagles game with my family. I run to the supermarket to buy Tostitos, and I'm counseling somebody in aisle six around a cancer diagnosis. That no. Someone I bump into, you know, that's it's or
because and that's because well, they but that's because they know you. They know you're I mean, that's the other
exactly.
thing is you can't go anywhere in your community without someone stopping you and saying, hey, we got to talk. I'm seeing right, someone on exactly. the side. My wife doesn't know. And then exactly. suddenly you have to like put the Tostitos down and really get into it.
Well, you don't have to do that.
Right.
No, exactly. you do have to. You can't be holding Tostitos.
No, you need the Tostitos.
Or Testitos either.
I never hold my okay. Tostitos when I counsel people. The other piece is when I am not in my local area, right? When I'm not in New Rochelle or in Westchester, I never tell people I'm a rabbi
right,
ever.
Right.
So if I meet someone and when I like it's led to some really awkward, completely uncomfortable situations where I'm sort of found out in the middle of a conversation that I was lying about being a rabbi. And I was once in Arizona and I went to Sedona. I was by myself, you know, these like purple, those big pink Jeep trips, you know
yeah,
what I'm talking
yeah.
about?
I know those. I've been on one of those. They have these giant four-wheel Jeeps
yeah.
and you get in there with a few other people and they take you on these insane, you know, sort of trips up pretty much at a 90-degree angle up yeah. some rocks. It's pretty harrowing, but fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just wanted to get away. And there were three couples from Chicago and me. And they said, you know, being friendly, what do you do? I said, oh, I'm a teacher. And they said, oh, what do you teach? I said, history. They, you know, they said, oh, where do you live? And I said, oh, I'm outside of New York City. And we went through the whole thing. And one of them said to his wife, how do we know that town? And they went back and forth. And he said, wait, Rabbi Schwab has a good friend who's a rabbi in that town, mm-hmm. you know? And so I was sort of discovered.
Oh, my
so
God. Said,
you know,
in so Arizona?
You're in Arizona driving on a four-wheel drive over boulders and people are like, we know you, you're a rabbi.
Exactly. And I told them, they said, why didn't you tell us you were a rabbi? And I said, well, then people will start making me work and I'm really on vacation. And they laughed and they said, don't worry, we would never do that. And 10 minutes later, one of the guys was like, oh, you know, I wanted to go to synagogue when my mom died and I never really did. And so it's like impossible to go anywhere once you're found out.
You know what people, it is? You know what it is, David?
My hair.
Nope, David, it is your life is exactly like that of a dermatologist, which is anyone who sees who finds out that someone's a dermatologist invariably says, they pull up their shirt and say, can you just look at this for a second? Because it's unlike most other, you know, if you're talking to a cardiologist, he can say, look, I don't really have the tools here. But everybody does that to a dermatologist. And now I see sure. they do it to a rabbi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sona, where else can you go surfing and skiing the same day, huh?
I don't know.
Or check out a world-class art museum and then camp at a dark sky sanctuary that night, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, where else can you hike through redwoods and then get a luxury spa treatment?
Where?
Well, you live there. California. California, Sona. No matter where
California.
You go across the state, you'll find a way to play. I'm a California resident. Sona, you are a lifelong California resident.
I'm a lifer. I love this place.
This is a beautiful state. Gorgeous. So many different, wonderful ecosystems in one state. You can hang out by a Palm Springs pool. You know, you can go whale watching, you can go hiking in Yosemite, and then talk about the great cities in California. You get all this amazing food, sushi, whatever you want, they got it in California. Hey, if you can't find it in California, man, you got a problem.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that. I made that up on my own. Anyway, I love California. Discover why California is the ultimate playground. Head to visitcalifornia.com to start planning your trip today.
You know, it's only a matter of time until your check engine light comes on, which could equal an expensive repair bill, and a new engine can cost up to $6,000.
Don't I know it?
But this is why you need this product I'm about to mention right now.
Okay.
CarShield. CarShield offers plans with low monthly rates that you can pay for your expensive repairs on your out-of-warranty car, truck, or SUV. It's so nice to have that protection of CarShield.
I know.
I believe. That's my belief. Some people have other beliefs, maybe religious beliefs. I think CarShield. CarShield plans provide protection on up to 5,000 major parts and systems, including items like transmission, engine, even your entertainment system. Mm. Just call CarShield and choose the mechanic to do the work. CarShield administrators will handle the rest and save you money. Look, I saw your car today. You've got a beautiful car, but you've got to haul your family around in this car. This is a vital piece of machinery for you. You need CarShield.
I do. And you know, I don't take care of my cars very well. So CarShield, it would definitely come in.
You know, and also with their A rating from the BBB, don't ask me, CarShield is the name you can trust to save you money on covered auto repairs. Now's the time to make the smart choice and protect yourself from the sky-high auto repair bills. Visit CarShield.com/Conan. Save 20% today. Again, that's CarShield.com/Conan to save 20%. Visit CarShield.com/Conan to lock in your price today. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend is sponsored by ADT, introducing ADT Self-Setup, featuring everything from motion sensors to Google Nest Cam and the Nest doorbell with a battery or wired option. Your choice. Easily install the ADT Self-Setup security system at your convenience. You don't need heavy-duty tools. And if you do need help, ADT can provide virtual assistance along the way. Self-Setup from ADT grows, moves, and adapts as your needs change. You can add more products at any time, and your system easily moves wherever life takes you. It also features Nest Cams that can tell the difference between a person, an animal, a vehicle, or with the Nest doorbell, even a package. These things are getting so smart. Plus, when every second counts, you can trust ADT's 24/7 professional monitoring. You can view video of an alarm event and verify or cancel an alarm with just one quick tap. Now everyone can get trusted security from ADT installed your way with no long-term contracts. When the most trusted name in home security adds the intelligence of Google, well, you've got a home with no worries. Go to ADT.com today or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. Google, Nest Cam, Nest Doorbell, and Nest Aware are all trademarks of Google LLC. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. This is unbelievable. I've been talking about this idea for years.
I know. I want you to explain it more.
I can.
Okay.
With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. I had this idea years ago. I was telling people, no one listened to me. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems. Remember when I said that?
Yeah.
Because you've got one unified business management suite.
You said that.
Yeah. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math, man.
Yeah.
See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Conan, netsuite.com/Conan. I'm going to say it one more time just for emphasis, netsuite.com/Conan.
I'd be a terrible rabbi. Why? Because I just wouldn't want to do anything.
Well, that's...
I feel like I would ghost everyone.
That's a reason why you'd be bad at a lot of things.
But also, I feel like you would just like you're in the hospital doing a bris and then somebody calls you and you have to go to the other part of the hospital to like for someone who's dying. That's a lot emotionally. I don't know if I can handle that.
In my experience with a bris, it doesn't happen in a hospital. It happens at the temple.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is that correct, Rabbi?
That's true.
Thank you.
But Sona, you're very empathic, and I think you'd be a great rabbi.
That's
the truth.
No, but she isn't terrible work ethic and doesn't care about doing a good job. So those would be problems.
Well, if someone's like texting me and I'm watching a show, I think I'd just be like, I'll get to it. And then the person would die.
That's true. You'd be a terrible rabbi.
Yeah. See, David, I'm trying. I love your people. I love your faith. I'm trying to help you here. You do not want someone to be a rabbi. Do you perform brisses or does that a special, that's a special skill, right?
No, that's a special skill.
Oh, okay.
No, I do
okay.
not.
Are you asking yes. for
I mean,
a reason?
I officiate. Yeah.
You're
my favorite joke when I'm at a bris is to say, is to say, man, this calamari's good at the dinner afterwards. And then have someone say, there's no calamari. And I go, ooh.
Come on.
It's hilarious because it means I accidentally ate the foreskin. It's a hilarious joke. Boy, this calamari's killer. There's no calamari. Try it out sometime, Rabbi. It's really funny.
I will. Go to a TGI Fridays and go, boy, this foreskin's delicious.
We don't serve foreskin here.
Oh.
I accidentally ate calamari.
You know, after...
This is the stupidest thing so ever.
No, after my son, my first son was born, you know, the custom in Judaism is the foreskin has to be buried.
Right.
You can't dispose of it in any other way. So the moyle who did the bris for my son gave it to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? I was a rabbinical student living on the Upper West Side. And he said, you have to bury it. But I lived in New York City.
Yeah.
So my friend and I went to Central Park and we went behind home plate, because huge baseball fan. And we buried it behind the first field in Central Park.
Oh.
And now there's a foreskin tree growing right there.
Every October, dropping foreskins. What a terrible image. But Rabbi, and what is your last name, Rabbi?
Shuck.
There was a character actor named John Shuck. When I was a kid, he was in Holmes and Yo-Yo, the TV show. And sorry, I'm going way back there. He played, look up Holmes and Yo-Yo, John Shuck. He was a very funny character actor.
That sounds like a show you made up.
Yeah.
Shout out to John Shuck, right?
I don't even know that one.
John Shuck, Holmes and Yo-Yo.
Okay.
You got a picture.
Any relation?
If Matt has never heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might be related to John Shuck.
Are you related to John Shuck?
No, because he doesn't exist.
No.
He does exist. Holmes and Yo-Yo, folks. I know a lot of fans out there right now going crazy that I mentioned your favorite show from 1970, I'm going to guess, 8?
Holmes and Yo-Yo?
Yep. Sorry about
they're
that.
It's people.
Yes, it's two guys.
Oh.
And here's the trick. John Shuck, the actor, plays a robot. He looks like a regular person, but he's a robot.
I mean, some of these shows are dumb, though,
wait,
right?
Is this before Jaime on Get Smart or after?
It's afterwards. It's after Jaime.
It's a ripoff. Yeah.
Well, before or after Small Wonder? It's a show I know.
It's a great show.
Before Small Wonder. Rabbi, I seem to have lost the thread here. I took us down a little bit of a rabbit hole on John Shuck.
It's good.
But I wanted to give him a shout out.
I wanted to smugly drink water.
You're out there, John. Is he still with us, John Shuck? Please say yes.
He is.
Wow.
John Shuck, if you're out there, I'm a fan.
Let's get him on the show.
Holmes and Yo-Yo.
And I'm your nephew.
Exactly. Yeah, you could be. Yeah.
Do you have a question for Conan?
Yes. Do you have a question for me?
I do.
How can I counsel you?
Oh.
Yes. Thank you. I never thought you'd ask. So let's just say you are the senior rabbi, Conan.
Oh, dear.
And Sona and Matt are the associate rabbis. Mm-hmm. What would a clergy team meeting look like?
Whoa. Well, first of all, I'd be there, and I think Rabbi Matt would be there as well. Sona would not be there because she'd be running late and not caring.
Oh, okay. I think that you would be eating up everyone's time by playing the guitar for about an hour.
Right, but playing.
Holding up the meeting.
But playing songs about Israel and playing songs about
Moses. Yeah, but that accomplishes
Moses.
Nothing for our clergy. Like,
it doesn't
cross anything off the agenda of the meeting.
I would sing the dreidel song.
I'm sending my rabbinical resume over to you, David, to see if I can get a transfer of some kind.
Oh, no, you can't.
Oh, no. Oh, I got to work under this guy.
Because you're the guy that I bring with me to the bris, whose job is to say, We didn't serve any calamari. Because I need someone to say that for my joke
but
to work.
It's like 100th time.
It's the 100th
time.
We
didn't serve any calamari.
And I go, ugh. But sometimes you don't do it because you're so sick of it. So I have a little broomstick and I tap you with it.
What if they are actually serving calamari?
I know. It's a drag. That's a problem. Then it's Matt's job to make sure that they take the calamari out.
Okay.
And get rid of it. His job is to get there early and get rid of all of the calamari that they routinely serve at a brick.
So is our meeting just discussing how we're going to support your bits?
Yes. Yeah. That would be, yes. Here's what you need to know, David. All of the meetings would be, okay, I've got this bit I want to do. And here's what I need. I need you to ask me. I need you to say this, Matt. And then when Sona shows up, I need you to do this. And yeah. You, yeah. So yeah. It would be a
you
lot of that.
You are going
to
do our son's brisk, correct? No. We've got other people for that.
No one calls you anymore for anything. Yeah. You're the only rabbi no one calls for anything.
Your workload would double, David, because everybody from my...
Yeah.
Everybody who worked at my temple would be like, no. We're good, Conan. You'd be getting twice as many calls.
Sad old lonely rabbi on the top of the hill that no one calls.
You hear someone in your synagogues having like marital trouble and you go to them asking if you can help and they're like, no, we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
We're fine.
Conan O'Brien
just lost a parrot. Yeah. I'm
we're
fine.
Good.
It was
no,
good.
No, we're
it
good.
Was
good. We're good. We're
Conan
good.
O'Brien is rabbi without a cause. It's me in a red jacket, collar flipped up, James Dean style. No one comes to talk to me.
You can handle the bits.
You know, David, you don't seem nervous at all anymore. You got over that really quickly when you realized who you were talking to.
It's just amazing how our clergy meetings are so similar to what we just described.
That's good.
Is that
good.
Right? Is that true? Yeah. Really?
No.
No. Well, yeah. Holmes and Yo-Yo comes up. There's a lot of calamari jokes.
Sometimes I can be so naive.
Is Hanukkah going to be a busy time for you? That's coming up. Is there
a busy time?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a very joyous, festive time.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a fun time. Yeah. It's a time for us to, we actually have a holiday where it's not about people tried to kill us and they didn't and let's celebrate. Well, actually, it is. No, it's precisely that. So,
okay. Forget
fun.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we have a lot in common, like the Irish and the Jews. Like it's hard to be optimistic as in the Jewish community. So anytime we have a holiday that's like eat greasy food and light candles, it'll be great for us. Yeah. It'll be fun.
I think the Irish and the Jews are linked in many ways. I think we both have a guilt as a big motivator and kind of in a weird way, a rocket fuel, like an Achilles heel, but also a strength is our guilt. And then the other thing I've found to be very true is sense of humor. Like, you know, so many of my favorite funny people are either Irish or Jewish. And so there's something about humor as a defense mechanism that I think also unites us.
Completely. And, you know, I have to say, I often hear you say like, we're just doing silly shenanigans, meaningless things here. But the truth is, the work that you do as a comedian is really important work in the world for me, getting through this pandemic, which hit New Rochelle really hard.
That's right. New Rochelle was like ground zero, right? You guys had were hit very hard. Tell us about that.
We had a lot of losses in this synagogue. And I was doing sometimes three funerals in a day. Sometimes I was officiating. God. I buried a husband and then a wife a week later, his wife.
Oh, boy.
You know, it was traumatic here. Yeah. And these were losses. You know, the technologies that Jews developed for so long about dealing with our grief, you know, shivas and big funerals and coming to synagogue to recite, you know, a prayer of mourning. We couldn't do any of that. So it was really like people in this community just disappeared from the community. And you know, I think in so many ways, my job now is to help people look forward and people feel really optimistic. Mm-hmm. you know, with the vaccines and so on. But there's a piece of me that feels like part of my job is also to say, like, we've lost a lot and we have to make space for that loss too. So it was really tough. But I listened to your show and it really, in so many ways, and your friendship and your banter, in so many ways, it really got me through the most difficult time of my life.
That's really, that's nice. Lovely to hear. Yeah. And it is really, it means a lot to me when I bump into people who say that we're in any way, you know, making them feel better. Sometimes they feel better because they know they're not us.
Yeah.
Most times. like, but it is really, that's very meaningful. And that's nice of you to say. And I'm glad we were able in our own way to be there for you. I'm really sorry for what you went through, but I think the people of New Rochelle and are just very lucky to have you.
Yeah.
You seem like a really great, you seem like a really good person who's very giving and very empathetic. And I think you're doing a great job. And so I salute you. I do salute you.
Thank you.
And a salute from me is, I don't know if it's very meaningful.
It's I mean, there's
room to go up.
Yeah. I'm not an admiral, but you know, I'd still salute you.
You can aim higher.
Yeah. Hey, David, it was really lovely talking to you, and I hope your community continues to heal. And I just wish you a great Hanukkah holiday season. Really, I hope you have a lovely one, because it sounds like you deserve it.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you later. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan, with Conan O'Brien, Sonam Movsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Joanna Solitaroff, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson at Earwolf. Music by Jimmy Vivino. Supervising producer Aaron Blaert. Associate talent producer Jennifer Samples. Associate producers Sean Doherty and Lisa Berm. Engineering by Eduardo Perez. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
This has been a Team Coco production, in association with Stitcher.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.